This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
My name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome to the show where man faces off against idea, where we find terrible, terrible notions from the internet, shock our other hosts with them, and then give ourselves just 10 short minutes to try to figure out how the heck to turn it into the pitch for a good movie or a good book or a good comic book or a good play or a good anything, really. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing today?
Fabulous.
Let's rock and roll. Let's do it.
Yeah, all right. Let's. I like the attitude. I like the spirit. Let's get into our first bad idea today. And I think that's you, Mr. Valenti.
Oh, that's right. And I hope you guys brought your jumpsuits, the kind that you would like to wear into the darkest parts of the internet.
Oh, so we're spelunking.
May I invite you both into Wired's recent expose. He escaped the dark web's biggest bust. Now he's back. And we're going to learn about DeSnake and his maximalist approach to doing dark shit over the interwebs.
I'm sorry. DeSnake? DeSnake?
What was that name one more time?
D-E-S-N-A-K-E. DeSnake. DeSnake.
Sure. Sure. Classic.
Yes. Yes. Just over 4 years ago, the U.S. Department of Justice announced the takedown of Alpha Bay, the biggest dark web market bust in history. Thai police arrested the site's 26-year-old administrator, Andre Kazes, in Bangkok, and the FBI seized Alphabay's central server in Lithuania, wiping out a marketplace that was selling hundreds of millions of dollars a year worth of hard drugs, hacked data, and other contraband to its 400,000-plus registered users. The FBI called the disruption of the site a landmark operation. But the fate of one key player in that massive black market scheme was never explained. Alphabay's former number two administrator, security specialist, and self-described co-founder who went by the name DeSnake. Now, 4 years after his market's demise, DeSnake appears to be back online and has relaunched Alphabay under his own singular leadership. After 4 years off the radar, he's not keeping quiet about his return. In an extended chat interview, DeSnake tells Wired how he walked away unscathed from the takedown of Alpha Bay, why he has resurfaced now, and what his plans are for the resurrected, once-dominant online black market. He communicated with Wired via encrypted text messages from a frequently changing series of pseudonymous accounts after proving his identity by signing a public message with DeSnake's original PGP key, which multiple security researchers verified. Quote, "The biggest reason I'm returning is to make the Alpha Bay name be remembered as more than the marketplace which got busted and the founder made out to have committed suicide," DeSnake writes. Kazes was found dead of an apparent suicide in a Thai jail cell a week after his arrest. Like many in the dark web community, DeSnake believes Kazes was murdered in prison. He was driven to rebuild Alpha Bay, he says, after reading about an FBI presentation on the circumstances of Kazes' arrest that he deemed disrespectful. Alpha Bay name was put in a bad light after the raids. I'm here to make amends to that.
Yeah, you don't say.
So it's sort of a long read article. The story goes on to say, like, his big innovation is he's making it something even more decentralized and, like, less regulated than Bitcoin. Monero, where, like, now you can't even find anybody's identity, where as the...
My liver is going to strangle me from the inside out.
The previous guy who got busted got partially busted because of blockchain analysis. In addition to leaving his personal email somewhere in the code of his, like, website that ultimately got him arrested.
Man, arrested development took place in the wrong decade.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm taking away from all of this.
Like, so many of these stories are like, you know, these like elite hackers had so much fucking security on their front door, but then they kind of left their back door ajar. And it's like, really, guys, come on.
But here's the quote. Here's the quote. In this game, there is no overkill. The Snake, who said this in response to the former guy who got busted. How DeSnake got the job was he hacked Alpha Bay in such a way that he could have taken it for all it was worth. But instead, he fixed the problem and was like, give me a job. And so they did.
Right. You know, it's not like I get the job in the securities company by showing you how somebody could defeat the securities company.
Exactly.
So he was a white hacker for the dark web. For the dark web. Oh my God.
That's the pith. Then the guy gets busted because he didn't do all the security. I think he called it OPSEC, operational security, that he recommended. And so anyway, he got busted. Meanwhile, everybody that's in on the dark web is looking at it sideways, being like, So let me get this straight. 4 years ago, this thing got busted. And you're telling me that this isn't a honeypot where I'm going to like sign on to do all this illegal business. And I'm just like literally giving all the three letter agencies my shopping cart history.
One moment, Zach, can you unpack what you mean by a honeypot?
A honeypot is basically an intelligence operation where it's like, imagine you had an illegal downloading site where you got all your music from, and then it disappeared for a week.
Zach, it's going to take me some, I'm not this kind of person, obviously. For anyone from the NSA that might be listening, I want it on record that I have no idea what this is like.
Back in the day, before Spotify,
you were alive in the 90s, though.
Historical fiction.
Yeah.
So you have a site where you love to get your music from. It goes down, then it comes back. And you're like, oh, cool. You start downloading from it. And the next thing you know, you get a letter in the mail that you've been summoned to court for intellectual property theft.
I see.
So it's basically a way that, like, you know, law enforcement can catch up with criminals is by pretending to be criminals that will then do business.
I see. So it's like very subtle entrapment.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay, got it.
So basically, there's a bunch of people who are like, sure, you're back and legit. Sure.
Yeah.
And have seen no evidence of the technological stuff that he's been promising to build for years, which his grand vision from one of his original posts is a decentralized dark web. If you have ever downloaded in your life illegally or aware of, like, back in the day, one of the first apps was Kazaa or Napster, where it was kind of like, it looked like iTunes. Like, it was like a single app you open on your computer and then you can search and download stuff. But if that service went down, that was it. Like, if they, you know, got the boss of that company, you know, there was nothing to do. Whereas later on, BitTorrent, which had a decentralized model, basically just meant that, like, a lot of different people could host and download all from each other. So there's not one point of failure. That just changed the game. And at a certain point in time, it was taking up like 30%+ of internet traffic worldwide. And so this guy, DeSnake, his like grand vision is sort of a BitTorrent for black market online, you know, dark web, basically, where Alpha Bay would just be one of many different sort of dark corners on this thing that no central agency could take down. And of course, this is like his long screed rant on his Tumblr page. And everybody that is a developer in the space is looking at him being like, so you're trying to tell me that for the last 4 years, you weren't in prison being convinced by law enforcement to come back and catch us all.
That you weren't, you know, taking the plea deal that involved, like, you know, wearing the digital age equivalent of a wire.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I think you guys get the idea. People are basically thinking of it either as that honeypot sort of scheme or an exit scam, where basically it's like a Ponzi scheme. You get a bunch of people to buy in and then you leave. So, you know, put up a bunch of fake listings for products people might want to buy on a dark web. And then when they give you their money, you just run away.
Mm-hmm.
He promises he's for real. And that if you take a risk with him, we will be unstoppable.
I mean, I love being unstoppable. Sign me up for unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't know if you can ever get signed up for being unstoppable. This is the whole problem right here.
Right.
Well, with that, I'm going to put 10 minutes on the clock.
Okay, great.
And if you have any clarifying questions, just let me know.
No, so this is one of these, like, let me see if I'm understanding the scenario correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there's a place on the internet that is basically like, you know, contraband, hack data, and beyond. You know, sort of like, you know, if you need your illegal activities, come on down to Alpha Bay. This guy, by hacking them and showing them their vulnerabilities, becomes the securities expert for Alpha Bay, or at least one of them. This place gets raided. Like, you know, it gets shut down by the feds, basically, or whatever the proper authorities in the scenario would be. And now, 4 years later, the guy that was in charge of security clearly wasn't good enough at his job because they got shut down by the feds, is now back saying...
So DeSnake, the security chief, was saying his boss was amateur.
I see. Got it. Yep. So, like, you know, like, I was really... If they'd only listened to me, everything would be perfect. That's why I'm back now, and I'm going to run the new and improved version of the thing that everyone got caught doing, which means that the bad idea is either working for the cops and not being subtle enough about it, or being the lucky one that got away and then very publicly a couple of years later being like, nah, hey, cops, I'm doing the thing all over again, and like publicly signing off that I'm the one doing the thing. That's about like the general gist of it.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sarah, do you have kind of an entry point? Do you have a foothold into this?
No, is the short answer. I'm thinking. Oh, it's just all just terrible. It's like a burrito of terrible decisions.
It's a turducken of badness.
Yeah.
It's pretty terrible.
I think that, like, there's a couple things. Like, you could sort of do, I hate this as I'm saying it out loud, a sort of Fast and Furious style, like the FBI agent pretends to be a white hat hacker and then realizes that the Familia, who are creating this sort of extra decentralized thing, is super cool and they pull a heist. Or you could do sort of like, I don't even know, like sort of a Tron style thing where someone has to go into this super extra secure centralized system and try and break it from the inside. What are you thinking about, Gabrielle? Because I'm at sixes and sevens.
Yeah, you know, like as always with these sorts of things, my instinct is usually like, how can we get this out of the digital space? Because things that are kind of ridiculous and over the top in digital space, if you transpose the way that people act there onto non-digital life, it becomes like extraordinarily over the top and ridiculous. So I'm kind of like, you know, like what is the equivalent of like, you know, like somebody gets like, you know, some guy is the like one guy in a gang that tries to rob a bank. Like there's a bank heist that goes wrong. 8 out of the 9 guys get caught and go to jail. One guy gets away. And then 4 years later, the guy sends a message to the bank being like, you know, like October 1st of this year, your vault is going down. And again, and that is sort of, and it puts us kind of in a similar space of, okay, this is either a narcissist with some stunning problems of just kind of like, you know, like, wow, like, you know, it's not enough that you're trying to do something extremely dangerous and lawbreaking. You need to basically be like the guy that is like calling the pool shot before you do it while you're doing it. Or it is very clearly kind of, you know, the police are after, you know, Big Jim, the like notorious like safe cracker. And this guy has been kind of like assigned to entrap Big Jim with a, you know, bank heist that will go wrong, and he's just kind of being very, very incompetent at it. And, you know, there's kind of something about it being sort of, you know, like trying to do it out in what I understand some people call the meat space, sort of like the place where, you know, it's still like bodies having to move around and do it.
Yeah.
That I find is even more ridiculous than the already extremely heightened digital version. I still don't know like what the guy's real motivation is. Like, it's still sort of the cipher of are we doing this because we have deep-seated personality problems, or are we doing this because the police are really leaning on us and that bargain deal isn't going to bargain itself?
Right, right.
Can I offer a possible interpretation?
Mm-hmm. Please.
It strikes me as modern day piratry in the sense of like it's outlaw culture in a world of keyboards and screens.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a lot of these dudes are like inappropriately young to be building marketplaces that for sure you can ideologically, you know, get on a soapbox and preach, why they should exist, but then functionally are just anathema to a civilized world. You know, just when you look at the human trafficking and like organ stuff like that, it just gets mm-hmm. incredibly disturbing incredibly quickly. I don't know. I think there's like a story. There's definitely a character in just like somebody who's naive to an unimaginable degree to themselves. But then also, I don't know. And I just feel like there's a lot of like dramatic tension.
And just kind of like someone that has like an outsized amount of control and influence over other people's lives for like their level of maturity.
That's, I think, one thread you could take from that and run with.
Mm-hmm.
Or whose sort of motivations are simpler and perhaps more immature than the thing that they've built allows. Is that kind of what you're driving at? That like this sort of, I'm 14 years old and I just want to build something cool because fuck the man. It gets away from them. Is that it?
I've been their fictional character. I've been there.
And I think the idea is that they end up in this sort of in the kinds of scenarios that like we haven't seen since pirates were a thing,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, they're living in like far flung places with their sort of digital equivalent of a ship that, if they don't use properly, we'll get them caught.
Right. And inevitably with those kinds of stories, it is always kind of, you know, whether it's the pirate ship or kind of the like, you know, dark web hacker commune on the remote island of unknown name island goes here. You know, there's always sort of that dynamic where like, you know, when you join, it's sort of this like, no, we're outlaws, but we are noble outlaws. The captain lays down the law. We only break the stupid laws. And then, of course, there is sort of like the power hungry guy on the side that is like, yeah, but we would be making like a lot more money if like we facilitated hits or if we facilitated sort of like the dangerous shit. And inevitably, it leads to like the power struggle. Inevitably, it is kind of about like, you know, will the noble pirate captain get to retain control of the crew, or will it be wrested out from under him by, you know, the scheming Blackbeard type?
Hmm.
Can I take us in a more Muppet Treasure Island direction?
Yes, please. And I have 3 seconds left.
Oh, yeah, God. Because, oh, shit. Okay, so basically, white hat hacker, whoever, immature, dark web person, time travel back to pirate times becomes... actually has the skill to become an awesome pirate. That's my pitch.
I love
Wait, and like, what is the skill that he would have? Just kind of like the like insight
manipulation
into
and persuasion,
illegality.
Yes,
I see. Great, 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 great. Cool. I love it. Sold. What do we call it?
Blast from the past. I don't fucking know.
Blast to the past, Sarah.
There
come
you
on.
Go. There you go.
Hack and slash.
There it is. We solved it.
I will take it. And that is time.
Wow. All right. Well, I have to say that may be a record for the most progress in the last 30 seconds of an idea
in the countdown
after just like a lot of floundering.
As long as we get there by the deadline, we've gotten there. We didn't get anywhere.
That's
we'll still need to stew on this.
That certainly says something about like my work ethic, both on and off the show.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go take a break. It won't be 4 hours. We're not going to do that.
Nah.
We would deserve it, though. But anyway, we'll be back after this brief message.
Hello there, Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief reminder that we have an active Patreon page to support the production of No Bad Ideas and all the other crazy worlds we're building behind the scenes. To check that out, scope the sweet rewards we offer for monthly subscriptions, as well as how to sign up yourself. Head on over to NoBadIdeasPodcast.com/support. Once more, that's NoBadIdeasPodcast.com/support. If you already support the show, we so appreciate that. And regardless, thank you for listening. All right, let's get back to more No Bad Ideas.
All right, everybody, welcome back to No Bad Ideas. We are on to our second bad idea of the day. And we are going from pirates to, which were once the most feared profession in the world, to what I think is now, in the modern world, the most feared profession of today. So why don't we just skedaddle on into this bad idea that I brought for you guys today? Are you ready?
Hell yeah.
Yes, let's go.
All right. From the Washington Post, the headline reads, and by the way, dear listeners, this article will be linked in the episode description. I highly encourage that you click on the link, even if you don't want to read along, so that you can look at the tremendous and terrifying photos. The headline reads, clowns lurked outside schools to promote a speech academy. Horrified parents called the police.
As well they should. Like, what did you think was going to happen, clowns?
The article reads, multiple clowns have been spotted loitering outside schools in Singapore, staring intently, approaching students and allegedly asking the young children to follow them.
Oh, my God.
Their unnerving presence sparked a flurry of complaints from concerned parents, who immediately called on the police to investigate. Yeah, good call, parents. Singapore police confirmed Monday that they had received numerous reports regarding the clown's presence outside different schools, and that officers had linked the bizarre stunt to a private education center, which had dreamed it up in an apparent bid to recruit people to its speech school. Quote, the police are verifying the facts with an education center on their alleged involvement in the incidents. Police investigations are ongoing, Singapore paper today reported, citing a statement that did not name the education center, more's the pity. Authorities asked the public to avoid interactions with strangers and to continue reporting suspicious activity, as the principal of one of the targeted schools asked parents to remind their children of the risk that strangers can pose. On social media, some shocked parents shared photos of one of the clowns and identified the school police were investigating as Speech Academy Asia, an organization dedicated to helping adults and children improve their public speaking skills. In one photo, a person disguised as a clown with heavy face makeup, a hat, and a plaid shirt was seen tilting their head and fixing their gaze on those standing near a bus stop close to a school. I just like let that eerie image just like sink in.
I don't want to, though.
The Academy, which was inundated with negative comments on its Facebook page, has apologized for the incident and promised it will not happen again. Quote, we are currently in the midst of discussion to see how we can rectify the situation, the center said, adding that it would be putting an immediate stop to clowns approaching terrified children, which it referred to as, quote unquote, road shows. Well, the
Academy, because they took place in the road where they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, basically. While the Academy acknowledged that the stunt had not been well received, it assured people that the clown spotted outside school gates did not offer any form of monetary rewards for children to follow them and strictly did not take any children out of the vicinity. The Academy's director, Kevin Tan, told the Straits Times that the clowns were part of a marketing campaign to promote speech classes taking place at the center. Quote, there was no evil intention behind the costumes. However, local parents were not amused. While this particular incident happened to be a public relations stunt, many parents explained they were already feeling anxious following a deadly school attack, this is where it gets sad, in July, in which one 13-year-old student was killed by another student at the school. The violence stunned the country, i.e. Singapore, where crime is relatively low. However, this is where I think the article really brings it in. This is not the first time clowns have spooked people by popping up randomly in public. In 2016, creepy clowns began appearing across the United States, sparking school lockdowns, widespread hysteria, and arrests. One thread posted on social media referred to a clown kidnapping a student, planting a bomb, and exploding a school in the D.C. area, the Washington Post reported at the time. The creepy clown craze soon spread to the United States, where police received reports of clowns outside schools, clowns carrying weapons, and clowns riding mobility scooters down the street. Jesus police said some Christ. Of the incidents were pranks, while other social media reports turned out to be hoaxes. Amidst the sightings, authorities and members of the public urged people to consider the distress caused to young children. So that is the end of this clown odyssey that I have for you. And again, dear listeners, I highly encourage you to click on the link in our description to see some clowns that will haunt your nightmares. But for the time being, I'm going to put 10 minutes on the clock.
Or don't do that.
Let me get this straight. There's a speech academy.
Zach, let me get ahead of you. Nobody can explain how the speech academy thought that the stunt would work. Like, there is no satisfactory explanation for what the ideal scenario in the speech academy's mind was.
Right.
For how it would be like, you know, step one, send clowns to schools. Step two, Step three, profit. Nobody knows what step two was supposed to be.
I just love the idea that there's Jake, middle manager Jake.
Yep.
Life's a bore, Jake. He spends his weekends and evenings clowning.
Yep.
What does Jake have in mind for the first ever company-wide marketing pitch? How does Jake present this idea to the company? Oh, yes. Full makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And his passion just really...
Jake also has to have, like, blackmail on everyone, right? For this to work? Like, Jake's in everybody's dirt.
Or be, like, so persuasive. Like, it needs to be one of those things where, like, afterwards, everyone is like, look, now we get it. Like, now we know how it sounds. But, like, you had to be there in the moment.
Right.
It sounded great.
If it's an The Office episode, it's because he can ultimately fire everyone. And also his disappointed face is just so painful.
Right. No, that's the vibe, right? Is that, like, everyone collectively, wordlessly looks at each other and decides that Jake needs to have this. This is important.
Exactly.
Not for the company, but for Jake.
Yes. Right. And how bad could it really be?
Wow.
Oh, my God. It's bad.
Fuck. Oh, that's funny.
Jesus. I mean, this already, the only idea that I had coming into this was... what if someone was, like, cursed or through circumstance just had to dress up as a clown everywhere they went? And the number of places where clowns would be out of place and scary would be very high.
Almost all of them, yeah.
It's almost all of them. And so you're just following this person repeatedly interacting with the police, probably. I'm just like, no, I promise. I'm here for a legitimate purpose, officer. But I am intrigued by the saga of Jake and what happens once everyone around him decides that, yes, he needs to dress up as a clown for
known Jake for all of 2 minutes, but if something were to happen to him, I would die. I am here for Jake.
Okay. Then let's be here for Jake.
We're going to turn his frown upside down.
And then turn it back upside down once the inevitable happens.
It's going to keep turning.
So where does Jake go as a clown? Is it like a convention? Is it a school play? Is it like I feel like it's someplace where he could have to, he'd have to be able to embarrass the company, and like everyone around him kind of has to pull together so that Jake's performance will work.
And the challenge is that it needs to be something where if it was set in a boardroom, everyone would be like, yeah, sure. Why not? That sounds fine. Yeah, whatever. Approved.
Yeah.
But then the moment that you get there, it's sort of this like, oh, no, this is a terrible idea. Now that we're actually doing it, we're seeing all of the many multiple problems with it. And I don't know what that is yet.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. A booze cruise. I'm just going to start throwing things out.
And one second. And like, what is Jake trying to promote? Are we keeping it as like a public speaking school? Because, you know, it could be like an insurance company. It could be you know, like it could be whatever, any small business. I think it needs to be like a relatively small business. It can't be Amazon or something, but it could do, I think, be most things.
And where in the world are we envisioning this? I know we could say anywhere, but I guess I'm just curious if we're trying to bring it to America somewhere.
Let's arbitrarily say Portland, Oregon, just to say.
All right.
Well, in that case, I mean, it can be like Uncle Russo's like silly string museum, like
like, you know, like some like very strange particular business.
It shouldn't. I think the company itself should be.
Portlandia may have broken my perspective on Portland, but
that's fair. I don't think the company itself should be silly, but it can be. It can be something like very, you know, it can be like a local fair trade coffee chain or something, if we want to put it in Portland.
I think the important
something
thing
like
is that Jake is the weird one. Like, Jake, nobody else in the company should be weirder than Jake.
So if it's in Portland, I think it would be extra funny if it was a very, very serious business. Like the tax prep place that's like joyless.
right. And you know, and like his, and like then the campaign is sort of like, you know, like, you know, don't let the tax man make a clown out of you or something, like, you know, like that's like, you know.
Right. Because Portland is dripping with ironic hipsters, the Jake's obviously bad campaign puns really hit and go viral, I think.
Is it like, is it that, or is it that people are like, you know, being like, holy shit, look at this like amazing like Pennywise cosplay that, you know, like some performance artist is doing. And so he's going viral as like a scary clown.
Right. Do we want to maintain the loitering intentionally around children? Or is that out?
I genuinely don't know. It's so unsettling. It's so
bad. Which is where like, I mean, that's where like, I feel like that's a plot point and we're out. Like if we're going to do that, that's crossing the lines. We can have a second act, but not like the movie.
Yeah. You know, Zach, for one split second, I was about to say, well, if it's tax prep, then we can't do that because it doesn't make sense to be. And then I remembered like, no, but the original promotion plan doesn't make any more sense. So fuck it. Yeah, let's go.
I mean, I guess like children can have speech impediments and you're marketing directly to the patient, but the
children will eventually have to pay taxes. This is the long game, Sarah. You know, you're investing for the future.
Where are the parents? They're picking up the children. That's the responsible ones who pay their taxes pick up their children. I'm just saying.
Look, I'm just saying, you know, like this academy has got more people talking about them right now than probably ever before. So on some level, this was a successful marketing operation.
How much time is on the clock?
2 minutes and 25 seconds.
All right. How bad do you want this idea to get? Because I have a nuclear option.
Go ahead. Okay, hit us. I think that at this point we're doing it.
All right.
Where's Jake going?
Strap in. So it's called 50 Shades of Red.
Oh, God.
you did say nuclear, and I was not prepared. Now I am. Continue.
Okay, so
I think we need disarmament.
So we keep the exact plot point, but we change that it's in Portland, and this is like we got Jake. He's like living his clown dream, and in the weirdest city, one of the weirdest cities in America, he makes people uncomfortable. And because he is an H&R Block or like some stand in for like a massive like national tax brand, like tax prep brand, he has to run up like be run up the chain of command.
Oh,
so
sure,
the rest
sure,
of the
sure.
movie isn't in Portland at all. He's being flown to corporate and has to like fucking mm-hmm. like deal with being kind of reamed out for damaging the brand's image, except the twist.
Okay.
The sexy twist is that one of the people who's like involved at a high level in the investigation, maybe it's the CEO, maybe it's like the like special like ops HR person that had to like rappel in from the ceiling to handle this, is like a clown like person. Like that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the CEO just gets it, man.
And so like, so on the surface, like by day, he's like going through the like kind of kangaroo court of like, will he be fired and made an example
sure,
of?
Sure.
But at night, he's having these like steamy clown nights with somebody he shouldn't.
I don't know that anyone has ever said steamy clown nights on a podcast before.
So you know what's the worst part of this? That I feel that now that like sorry, now that it's gone in this direction, and like don't get me wrong, I am here for it. I'm here for the steamy clown nights. I unfortunately think that now Jake can only be played by one of these like unnecessarily intense actors. Like now it needs to be like clown craze starring Christian Bale or Edward Norton or Michael Fassbender. Yeah, like it needs to be sort of like one of these like super fucking intense dudes.
I am Jake.
That's time.
Oh, fuck.
Well, we got a title. It's fine.
I have been nuked. The nuclear option has destroyed all resistance. That is what we're doing.
Okay, great.
Thank Fantastic. You for coming along in this disturbing ride.
Call A24 right now.
Yeah, let's see if we can get this somewhere. I'm gonna go keep laughing off microphones. But this has been No Bad Ideas, and we'll be back next week with more more nuclear options.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.